Number two, like mother, like daughter. Across the deep green meadows, the happy musical laugh of the little girl could be heard by her father as he drew a dipper of water from the pump. He watched his daughter Lua go racing barefoot through the grass, carrying on a gay conversation with her friends, the animals, as she fled swiftly past them. Her father shook his head wonderingly. He sighed. Ah, she's just like her mother. There was something strange and wonderful about them both. Something just beyond his reach. He didn't understand it. Still, he could tell from the way they would at times smile at each other that they understood it. It didn't really matter, he told himself, because he loved them both so very much. Both Lua and her mother were born in rural upstate New York in the village of Hume. Both shared an outer life of delight in the farm with its green fields and growing things, but an inner life of unrest and dissatisfaction. There was no one to answer their questions. They hungered for knowledge of every kind, and especially knowledge of God and his creation. But each cup seemed to be empty. It all began with Lua's mother. Ellen McBride Moore imbibed these ideas with her mother's milk. She was but five when the call from the first women's rights convention in all history was made in that same upper New York at Seneca Falls. Change was in the air. Ellen McBride Moore was born in 1843. It was the year of the Great Comet. All eyes stared up at the night skies, searching the heavens in fear of the great fiery tail, millions of miles long. Some said it heralded the end of the world. It was all part of a period of strange, growing millennial zeal. Bible scholars in three continents said their studies of scripture pointed to the imminent return of Christ. People in the United States, Canada, England, Europe, even in Asia, were discussing and debating the issue in great detail. Many confidently expected to see him coming in the clouds of heaven, as he had promised. Some even sold their possessions, prepared ascension robes, and went up into the mountains to await Christ's coming. In the nearby rolling hills where New York and Pennsylvania meet, Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon faith, had had his vision of a great new day coming. He was to give his life for these beliefs in 1844, a year after Lua's mother was born. Farther along these same Pennsylvania hills, William Miller and his flock had organized entire communities who were prepared for the coming of Jesus the Christ. They finally decided this event would take place in spring 1844. Lua's childhood was filled with such tales of wonder and awe. Her mother, Ellen McBride Moore, grew up with a great unquenched thirst to know the truth about those days. Why had Christ failed to return as everyone expected? Or had he come and had everyone missed him this time too, as they did the first time? Had Christ fooled them all and come as he promised, like a thief in the night, without anyone recognizing him? Or was he perhaps living on the earth now? Oh, what an exciting thought. But if so, where was he? No one gave a satisfactory answer to these questions. When Lua's mother asked them, many became impatient with her. They told her not to tamper with these mysteries. Ellen McBride Moore felt that for every good question, there should be a good answer. Her intense curiosity was often a sort of acute distress to her family and her friends. Her husband and her minister especially felt the sting of her probing mind. During the days when Mrs. Moore carried Lua in her womb, her thirst for knowledge was directed towards religion. She wanted to know the truth about God and his messengers, about man, about the Bible, about the soul, about everything connected with religion. Her zeal had reached its peak. At every opportunity, whether at home, in public or in church, Lua's mother would speak out. She was frank and she was fearless. She demanded answers to her questions. It is also suspected she was a bit of a nuisance, especially to her minister. There were a lot of her questions to which he himself would have liked a better answer, but he knew better than to ask such things during church service. And one day, it reached a crisis.